Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 6th of January, 2019. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week for the new year and for Epiphany Sunday, Paul was looking at new beginnings and let us be magi. The reading, which will be read by Linda, is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 15. And then Paul will start the sermon.
Our reading is from the New Testament, Matthew 2. Verses 1 to 15. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called them together, all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son."
Friends, it's really good to be with you at the beginning of 2019. Thank you for reading that story of the Magi for us. I want to ask you, I guess it's a story everybody here knows quite well. Would that be true? Probably learned it as children. You know, we had those lovely nativity plays recently where we had three children dressed in king's crowns, all riding camels, coming with gifts, journeying a long way. You get the drift, don't you? We know that childish impression, if we're being honest with you. Indeed, we know more than that. We learn as a child how these gifts are important and special, how frankly they all represent something about this baby and his life and his death. We learn all of that. But this morning I want to look at something a bit differently. On this first Sunday of 2019, Epiphany Sunday, I want to look at the story of the Magi and how it reminds us of something. How it reminds us that God takes something and changes everything in our lives. How it reminds us that God meets us in unexpected ways. How it reminds us that with God, new beginnings are a speciality. It reminds us that our God is doing things his way, a new way. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 to 19 says this, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. When the Magi came to visit Jesus, God was doing a new thing. Friends, I believe with all my heart that God wants to do a new thing here among us. But that prayer we prayed, did you realize how dangerous the prayer was? Because bluntly, God's not in the business of playing games with us. If we pray for the Lord to be in the midst of us, God will be in the midst of us. The reality is not, does God want to be here, or does God want to do something amazing in our lives? The reality is he's not, because we're not letting him. We are the block. God is here. And so therefore that prayer is dangerous. Just like when the Magi came, frankly, friends, God wants to do something that was unseen, stunning. And I hope to be able to prove that to you. Or at least, I hope to have the words that mean God proves it to you. As we start a new year, as we look forward to all the Lord has in store for us here at NBC, we would do well to take this story to heart. There's a wonderful message for us from the Magi. Now, the Magi learnt lots. This is what they learnt. So I would argue this is what God wants us to learn at the beginning of the new year. God is not limited to meeting us in a certain place, in a certain way, at a certain hour. There is no magic formula that says if we do A, B, C, we meet God. If we don't do A or B or C, we don't meet God. That's not how it works. God can break through and does break through into our lives when he wants, how he wants, with the message he wants. They knew something was afoot, didn't they? There was a star. They knew something amazing was happening. It was significant. But these are Magi, Gentiles. Maybe they gathered together in one place before. Hold on a minute. These were rich Gentiles. There's something that tells you that God breaks through. God wanted to reveal to the world. He had a plan to save the world through Jesus Christ. And these Gentiles were part of that significant reality of that. Well, maybe they did gather together in one place before they journeyed to Jerusalem. Maybe they were on their way, who knows. As one little boy about 3 years ago told me at Nativity, they were bound to have bought the gifts before they left. No one goes to a party without a gift. This was logic. He then flummoxed the pastor by saying, and what do they get in return in their party bag? I would suggest, I've pondered that question. I would suggest they had a new heart, a new way, a new understanding, and a revelation from God. So, we don't know what happened, but one thing we do know is that they were prepared to simply follow the calling of God, to open themselves up to the possibility that it was God leading them. How do we know that? Well, think of their words to Herod in verse 2. We have come to worship him, they say. Now, worship in the Psalms, we were praying earlier on. Some of you guys missed the best part of the service, I tell you, because we were praying at 9:30 in the room over there, and there was a sense for me of God being in the midst of our prayer. If you've never been and prayed there, I want to encourage you to do so. And frankly, if I don't ever turn up at 10 o'clock and I'm still there, leave me, because we're in the best part of the meeting anyway. So anyway, there we go. Come and pray with us. But in that meeting, we were talking about, what is it God wants to do with us? I want to argue this to you, that in worship this year, God wants to remind us that when people came in the days of David, in the days of the Psalm, to worship on the temple, it was so steep they had to do one of two things when they came to worship. They either looked up or they bowed down. They either worshipped or they repented. Nothing else will do. Cold, lukewarm worship isn't going to cut the mustard. The Lord wants our full worship, our full devotion. Let this year be a year where we either look up to him in worship or we bow down in repentance and come before him. Did you notice that they came to worship him? Not that they'd come to see what all the fuss is about, but have come to worship. They knew that God was leading them. And moreover, they were prepared, were they not, to speak out that fact to Herod, the most fearsome despot of the day, this tyrannical individual, who, lest we forget, history tells us, about 6 years before Christ's birth, had put two supposed messiahs to death already. The reality is, Herod wasn't the person you wanted to go to at all. But these magi were prepared to go and say, "We have come to worship him." God can and does speak to us anywhere, at any time. Their message is to be constantly prepared, to be constantly alert for what God has prepared for you and for us. I believe that in 2019, and yes, I am laying myself on the line this morning, I believe that in 2019, as we look to what the Lord has for us in store at NBC, God just does not want to use the preacher out the front to speak to the church, but he longs to use us all. He just doesn't want to use me. He will use me, I have no doubt, but he longs to use us all. So my challenge to you is to say, if it's true that God speaks to all of us and speaks to all his people, then how is the Lord speaking to you this morning? Because there's a challenge here, and the challenge for us in this year is not will God speak to us and lead us, for he does. Not whether God will help us deal with the past, look forward to the future, he is. Not whether God will give us a vision to follow, a star by which he guides us, he will. The question is, will you accept that he can speak to you, lead you? Will you suspend your skepticism that God can and is dealing with the past? Suspend your disbelief. Simply acknowledge that God can and will lead you and lead you to lead us. Use you to help us. All of that starts where it started for the Magi. What's the first thing they did? They came to worship. And they had a willingness to take action. Now, these Magi could have noted, couldn't they, when they first saw it, the appearance of a star in the charts. They could have said, "Oh, that's interesting, brilliant, something's going to happen." They could have done that and done nothing more. They could have indicated that the phenomenon probably heralded something special and gone back to their normal lives. They could have done that, but that's not what they did. They put commitment to their conviction. They put feet to their faith, and they started a journey. And I would suggest that dangerous prayer we prayed around this communion table shines on this and says, this year, I believe God wants us to put commitment to our conviction, feet to our faith. And as we ponder 2019, a new beginning for us all, me included, we need to recognize that the story of the Magi challenges us not just to be convicted of what the Lord is saying, but also to be committed to what he's asking us to do. We need to be convicted and we need to be committed. Some of you know the story of one of the churches I've been involved in the past. There's a story whereby 15 people decided that the Lord was calling them to spend £250,000 on a new building. And guess what? They did it. Friends, here's the deal. If the Lord calls us to spend £10 million, let's use a ridiculous, absurd figure, then we do it, don't we? But if we think we're spending £1,000 in our own strength, we don't do it. Would that be fair comment? What about when we come to discipleship? If the Lord is calling us to be disciples of him, then surely we convict ourselves to being disciples, don't we? But if we want to gather together in a group just to gossip, we don't do it, do we? Actually, the Lord needs to permeate all of us this year in all of the ways of this church. The story of the wise men is amazing. See, here's the deal. Here's me laying myself on the line. I believe that God has something big, amazing, remarkable planned for Minehead, and more particularly for this church. Bigger and more stunning than we've yet to realize. But it's not as if he's going to force us into following him. It's not as if he's going to break us to make us. We have to let him in. We have to say, I will follow you. Sure, his heart breaks for his way. But we must be willing, must we not, to be putting aside our ways, to making sure we go his way. I love this. It's a great phrase, isn't it? So they committed themselves to the will of God and resolved to proceed. How about that? Looking back on it at the end of 2019 for a landmark of what might happen to this church in this year. That we commit ourselves to go the way of God and proceed. You're all stunned. That's okay. Because God's Spirit is not a raider and a destroyer. He's gentle. He longs to fill this church with his Holy Spirit, but he will not force his way in. Rather, he's waiting for us to respond to him. My question at the beginning of the year is, will you respond to the Jesus that we know and love as the Magi responded to the Christ in the manger? See, just like the Magi followed the star, Jesus wants followers, disciples, not forced conscripts. The stunning news of this morning is the God who created the heavens and the earth wants a relationship with you. And as they worship the Magi, that discovered something. Did you get that? They discovered that this relationship, this reality was here and now. I mean, it's a stunning thing, isn't it? Right in front of them was their Lord and Saviour. The challenge this morning, friends, for some of us, is here this morning, is our Lord and Saviour. The reality is we've just turned our eyes from him, our ears silent. Our Lord, our Saviour, is here this morning, unequivocally and without doubt. The journey may have been awesome. Being led by the star may have been amazing. But here, now, as they worshipped, this was what the whole journey was about. This moment. Indeed, this was the moment that would define the whole of their lives, wasn't it? I've met many Christians over the years who've come to know Jesus and then let that moment define the reality of their life. In 2019, I believe we must let everything of the past be the past. As those Magi stared at Jesus, it was no longer their way they followed, or even now a star, but seeing Jesus transformed everything. So much so that in verse 12, it tells us they returned by another route. In fact, imagine for a moment we're the Magi. Can you imagine yourself as a Magi, a wise person? Who among us, anyone like to volunteer the fact they're wise this morning? I can't. But imagine you're a Magi. Imagine for a moment you go back home. Now imagine if you'd started for the rest of your life to look for another star. Would you have found it? No. There was only ever going to be one intervention by God for his one and only Son in the world, one incarnation, and this was that moment. If you looked for the rest of your life for that star, guess what? You would have had a wasted life. It seems stunning to say, but it is nonetheless true, friends. So they worshipped him, but this was the moment everything changes. In one sense, they learnt the lesson of the star. This heralded the birth of God's one and only Son, worthy of worship. Why therefore go and seek another? Because there was no other but him. Meeting Jesus changed everything. What about you? Has meeting Jesus changed everything for you? Maybe, just maybe, they were comfortable with being Magi. Aloft a camel, crown on head, gift in hand. But one thing I know, for this group of Magi, life changed. They changed from relying on their own knowledge of the stars to come to God, to worshiping Him, and then to being able to hear God in a dream, to go home via a different route. Can you see on the way there they are being guided by the physicality of a star, and on the way home they're hearing from God because they have met with Him? Worshipping Jesus changed them. As we start 2019, as we gather in worship, do you know that you're called to leave here this morning following a different route to the one that you came? Now, pastors get involved with many different conversations. And after a service, some of which are truly amazing and remarkable, a few years ago, it was my privilege to be involved in one such conversation. In reality, friends, this lady had come to see me to moan. Her specific moan, with every apologist to Roy and the group for here, was about the worship group. And more specifically than that, that most weeks there was more than one song after the sermon. That was her specific moan. She wanted to go home, she told me, remembering what was said. And more than one song was sufficient for her to have forgotten what was said. Do you get her logic? She did acknowledge while we were talking that that was different if we shared communion. That she was able to deal with more than one song and some more worship around the communion table after the word was shared. Indeed, it was different if after the service she gathered for coffee and she fellowshiped, she could still remember then. But, okay, if she went home directly after the worship and there'd been more than one song at the end, she could not remember. She acknowledged that it was true around the coffee table, even if she rarely spoke to anyone about the sermon she just heard. But nonetheless, these are her words at the time, she felt her point was well made. Before I could respond, she said this to me, and yes, I did go and check my pastoral notes to make sure I was correct. She said this, she said, "I know I'm sour-faced, but it's the face God has given me. I know I can be a prickly character, but it's the way God's made me. I know I upset people because I speak my mind, but that's how I express myself. And since I want to be honest, I might as well let you know that I preferred the last pastor in any case. His sermons are clear and understandable. He isn't prone to challenging me. He's my friend. You're a stranger. And he always had time for me. And yes, I recognize and acknowledge you've come and visited many times, but you don't agree with me. He did." She stood in silence. And to be blunt, so did I. It was one of those moments, if any of you have been in pastoral situations where you're praying fervently without moving your lips. "Please give me the right words to say, Lord." And he did. And all I said as I looked into her eyes was this: "I'm sorry you're so stuck in the past, you cannot see what wondrous things the Lord has planned for you today. How can I help?" At which point, she cried on my shoulder as I led her to a room where we could be together in prayer. And incidentally, those of you that are into these things, for safe practice, I did ask another lady to join us. What I remember most, however, was how she went home. She said she'd come to church that day determined that her way was the right way. Determined that she would hold on to her pain, her anger of the past. Because, in a sense, it gave her identity. It was anger over what the church had done to her, to her friends. I have to say, friends, including the past minister. But she left by another route because she'd encountered Jesus that day. Incidentally, she would still go on moaning about not having about not having only one hymn to end the service from time to time. That would be her moan. But the pain, the anxiety had gone. Her identity had changed. And she learnt the daily reality of Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here." See, for those magi, that's their reality too, isn't it? They came thinking they would find a king. They left knowing their saviour. Encountering Jesus changes everything. And here this morning, friends, whatever it is you're stuck on, whether something personal or something about this church, whether of long ago or the relative recent past, our Lord wants you to leave via a different route. This Christmas, that lovely lady sent me and Lorraine an e-card. You can get them through many companies. I don't know how many. But I do know on her e-card she said this. She said, "Knowing you changes things, Paul. Knowing him changes everything." She'd learnt. I learnt loads from her too. Including the day when I thought, oh my gosh, I've made an enemy for life after that. And about a week later, she came to mine and Lorraine's front door. And she said, she heard we had a need. And she gave me it. And I said, oh, that's really kind of you to share. And she went, no, it's the only one. God told me to give it you. I'm not suggesting you plough me with gifts, guys. But I am saying, God changes everything, doesn't he? Interestingly enough, over the years that were to follow, she'd also say that I gave her Mac much more than she gave me, and I'm grateful to God for that. But here this morning, whatever it is you're stuck on, whether something personal or something about this church, whether of long ago or of the relative past, God, our Lord, wants you to leave via a different route. And that's why I believe that 2019 is about new beginnings. A year of new beginnings for us all. That includes you and it includes me. This is the year when I pray under God we go a new way. This is the year when we recognize that the old ways were not inherently bad, but the Lord calls us to follow him in new ways, his ways. This is the year that as we look at that story of the Magi, I encourage you to determine that when you meet God in the midst of your everyday activity, that you will rise up, follow the star. That you'll come and worship the Lord. Be willing to put commitment to your conviction, feet to your faith, rise up and follow him. That you'll recognize that this means that this morning you and I leave by a different route from the one that brought us here. Be open to the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. In a moment, we'll come to communion. An ideal time for us to stop, to acknowledge who this Jesus is, to acknowledge the cost he paid to restore our relationship with God, and the commandment he gives us to remember him. An ideal time to once again give our all to Jesus. The past, the present, the future. And to look towards this new year, this new beginnings. Do I know what 2019 will hold? No, praise God. But I know the one that does know. Emmanuel, God with us. I invite you, friends, as we give our all individually and as a church this year to Jesus, to rise up and follow the star. Amen. Friends, let's pray. Lord, in my own life, I pray that I may follow the star that leads your way, that I may come in worship to you day by day, moment by moment in my life, that I may be transformed and changed. And I pray for this moment of worship to you, that as I bring myself in prayer, you would change me, and I would leave here today by a different route. I pray for this church, that we may acknowledge this new year with its new possibilities, a new beginning, and determine right at the start of the year that we will go your way, follow you, be yours. Friends, in the quiet of this moment, I invite you to commit yourself yet again, once more, for the first time, to his ways. Lord, as we prayed that dangerous prayer earlier about drawing close to you, about love surrounding us, about you holding us worshipping you, I sum up our prayers this morning, Lord, my prayers this morning, by saying simply, let us be magi. To the glory and grace of God, I pray. Amen.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.